Welcome to Burning Hearts with Pastor Michael Kraft, a ministry of the Alpine Chapel in Telluride, Colorado. Here's a preview of what you'll hear from Pastor Michael today.
But here's the encouragement, gang. You got to wait a minute, because it just might be that God is up to something in our lives. It just might be that there's this divine design, there's this master grand plan that God's up to. And so let me tell you something. It is the wise woman and it is the wise man who doesn't blame the sticks, but instead realizes that God is teaching us to fly.
Do you feel like the Lord is pushing you out of the nest of your comfort zone? As you listen to today's message from Pastor Michael, he shares with you the importance of falling into the hands of God. To trust that the Lord has a good plan for your life. He is in control and is sovereign over all things. Pastor Michael encourages you that the Lord is teaching you to fly. He wants you to soar in this life He's given you. He wants you to not only live, but to live abundantly. Trust in His good purposes for you. Now here's Pastor Michael in the book of 1 Peter chapter 4 as he begins his message, Soar.
Now, where we're at here in the Word, Peter is writing a very small little letter to a group of people who were also experiencing freedom. But it was a freedom of a different kind. It was a spiritual freedom inside of them. These are people from all kinds of different backgrounds, mostly Jewish, but they were coming to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ because they had become recipients of His grace. They had heard the message that God loved them, that God had sent His one and only Son to die for their sins, that that was the Messiah. And they had accepted this message. They believed on Jesus. And so they were truly experiencing a freedom like they had never known before. But at the same time, this particular audience was experiencing that inner freedom. They, as we have been studying on Wednesday nights big time, they were experiencing outward persecution. The Roman Empire was coming down hard on anybody that named the name of Jesus. And there was a guy in charge by the name of Caesar Nero. And Caesar Nero hated Christians. He hated Christianity. He was doing his best to stamp it out. And as we've talked a lot about, just the many, many, many believers who were experiencing the inner freedom were experiencing persecution like they had never seen in their lifetimes. People being crucified on crosses, people being burned at the stake, people being fed to the lions, literally dressed as sheep and then fed to the lions, just in a mocking way. And so this audience that we're about to read to you, this audience that Peter's writing to here specifically, basically had two choices in their life. One choice was they could meet together like this, but they had to meet underground. They had to hide. They had to pretend like they were meeting for other reasons. And so they were literally meeting underground to worship Jesus together, to sing songs. Except when they sang, they would sing in whispers like this, and they would praise God in whispers, and they would read the scriptures that they had. And so it was a hard time to be a Christian. That was choice number one. Meet underground, keep loving Jesus. Choice number two, recant Jesus. Stop naming the name of Jesus. Stop following the teachings of Jesus. Stop believing in Jesus. So they had two choices. Thankfully, you and I are here today because most of them chose option number one. And if they didn't lose their life, they met underground and they kept naming the name of Jesus. They were known as the followers of the way. They became first known in a city called Antioch as Christians, which literally in their language meant followers of Christ or the Messiah. But they were known as Christians. They were known as radicals, okay? They were sold out and radical, and they didn't give a flying rip what anybody said about what they were doing. I mean, literally, we don't have a stinking clue today in 2021 of the cost that it cost our brothers and sisters that have gone before us, the cost that they paid to continue to love, serve, follow, obey, and spread the message of Jesus Christ. Amen? So this is who is writing to, people who I'm calling sold out and radical, man. These people are nuts. Peter's writing to them and he's trying to encourage them. He's encouraged them. He said, and this is what we've been talking a lot about on Wednesday nights, but major persecution is coming your way. Like big time persecution. You guys got to hang on, man. You got to keep going after Jesus no matter what. But not only the external persecution, the internal temptation to give in to the flesh is going to rise. We talked about how as stress and outward persecution rises, the temptation for me to flesh out and to go against the ways that I know I'm supposed to be living rise as well. And so Peter's giving them a warning. He's encouraging them. And in these verses here in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12, listen to this. He says, "Dear friends, don't be surprised when the fiery ordeal comes among you to," what does that say? "Test you as if something unusual was happening to you." Like, don't be surprised like something unusual is happening to you. "Instead, rejoice." What? Like, Peter, our loved ones are being burned at the stake. Yeah, I know. That should be normal to you guys. This is what you should do. Rejoice. What? Yeah, rejoice, he says, "as you share in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may also rejoice with great joy when his glory is revealed." Amen? Aren't those good verses? Man, we could just read those again and again and again. They are something to chew on. Friends, he says, don't be surprised at what's about to go down. Man, don't do it. Yeah, you're being tested, but rejoice. This is the same kind of thing that happened to the prophets before you, we read. It's the same kind of thing that happens to your Jesus, your Messiah, your love of your life, the same thing. Don't be surprised, man. You know, during times like we're in right now in our country, weekends like this where we're celebrating our country, we see a lot of pictures of eagles. I was walking down the street and some guy had the kind of like the picture here up in the top right corner, this big honking huge mama eagle, you know, with a flag on it, man. You see something like that, you just want to salute, you know, the guy, and he's got a big huge beer belly and you just fell in love with him. Anyway, I see eagles all over the place, television, commercials, magazines, billboards, and things like that. Pretty awesome. Eagles, I was researching them a little bit. Do you know the eagles, they're not, I kind of thought that the bald eagle or whatever, just eagles were only in America. Eagles can be found on every continent in the world with the exception of one, Antarctica. Eagles can fly higher than any other bird. They can go higher. And unlike any other animal in the animal kingdom, I think this is so cool. God has made eagles so that they can stare literally at the sun and not lose their sight. God has given them built-in sunglasses or whatever so that they can look at the sun, they can soar high, and then they can go down and they can spot something to eat really, really small, and they, boom, they swoop down and grab that thing. It's pretty cool. America chose the eagle to be our symbol, which is very interesting, but we're not the first ones to have done that. I was researching that in the Tsarist days of Russia, the eagle was their symbol as well. And in Bible times, Caesar Nero and the Roman Emperor, their stamp, their shields, and their symbol was the eagle, which is really interesting to me. Do you know that eagle has a wingspan of 10 feet? I saw. Very interesting. But once a year, the mama will lay her egg in this nest, and she'll put her nest way up at the top of a cliff or at the top of a bluff or whatever that's above a ravine or something. And she does that so that no predator animals or anything can get to her eggs. And so she does that. And when the babies are finally hatched, they go about 5 or 6 weeks. And it's really, really interesting because in those 5 or 6 weeks, dude, these baby eaglets, they're called, have it made in the shade. I mean, they got it going on. Mama literally feeds them on the hour. They just sit there and get fed. And as they're getting fed, they get fatter and fatter and plumper and bigger and bigger. It's really, really awesome as they're growing in those first 5 or 6 weeks. By week 5, the little eaglet, I'm going to call him Ernie Eaglet, grows so plump that he begins to notice something that's happening. Because unbeknownst to him, little Ernie Eaglet didn't know that his mother designed the nest in a very specific way. She designed it so that the sticks point inward. Now, this is interesting amongst all birds, okay? The eagle's nest, the sticks, but the pointy parts point inward. So here's the deal. As little Ernie gets fat, he begins to experience poking and agitating, and he's very unhappy. And no doubt, little Ernie Eaglet wonders to himself, what in the world was my mom thinking when she created this nest? This is absolutely not comfortable, Mom. You could have done better. Okay? But he never realizes that the design of the nest was all part of a plan to get him out of the nest, to get him doing something that he never thought he'd be able to do, to get him to fly. I do think the same thing can happen to us. Hey, we can get comfy, we can get cozy, we can get chubby. But all of a sudden, something will begin to happen in our lives, something that I believe the Lord allows to agitate us. Something will begin to poke us, and the Lord allows it, gang. Whatever it might be, you know, my boss shouldn't be treating me that way. Or my friend shouldn't be ignoring me in the way that she's ignoring me or whatever. We squawk and we squeal. You know, my finances shouldn't be as hard as things are supposed to be. I'm a Christian. I'm a follower of God. And how come things are so stinking hard? I hear things like this a lot, and I know you do too. And sometimes they come out of my own mouth. But here's the encouragement, gang. You got to wait a minute, because it just might be that God is up to something in our lives. It just might be that there's this divine design. There's this master grand plan that God's up to. And so let me tell you something. It is the wise woman and it is the wise man who doesn't blame the sticks, but instead realizes that God is teaching us to fly. He wants us to soar. He doesn't want us to be perched on the side of a cliff, a life of mediocrity our whole life. He has bigger plans for us, dude. He wants us to soar. Amen? Now, what happens in the eagle's life, little Ernie Eaglet? About the time he's getting really uncomfortable, the sticks are poking him, and he's just getting fatter and fatter. Literally, Mom feeds him once an hour. Mom comes up with her 10-foot wingspan. She swoops down to the nest and she stirs it up and she gives it a bump. And little Ernie Eaglet falls out. And he begins to fall hundreds and hundreds of feet. Feathers are flying. He's squeaking. He's squawking. He's upset. He's scary. The rocks are getting closer and closer and closer. Imminent death. He knows he's going to die. And right at the last second before he dies, Mama Eagle swoops down and picks him up on her wings, on her back, and carries him safely back up and deposits him in the nest. Isn't that awesome? Now, Ernie Eaglet's up there, and he's freaking out. His heart's, right? He's like, whoa! That was intense, man. Mom, why don't you try not being so clumsy? Like, I hope you learned your lesson, Mom. I hope you're not so clumsy. Good night. So about 2 or 3 days goes by, literally. 2 or 3 days goes by, and Mama comes by again. 10-foot wingspan, bumps the nest again. Ernie falls out. Feathers flying, he's squawking, he's screaming. At the last minute, as the rock's just about to die, Mama swoops down, picks him up on her back again, carries him up to safety. Gang, this happens again and again, over and over and over. About the 7th, about the 8th time that this happens, it's very, very interesting. As he's falling, he's ridden back up now on the back of Mama. He's felt her wings go up. He's felt this. About the 7th, 8th time, he puts his wings out and he catches air and he begins to fly. And all of a sudden, little Ernie Eaglet, he ain't mad at Mama anymore. He's not sore at her. He's soaring next to her in the sky. Listen, gang, when we say, God, what are you doing in my life? It doesn't make any sense. If I'm your child, and if you love me, I hear it all the time at church, and we sing it in songs, and I hear it on K-Love, how much you love me. If you love me all that much, then why are you letting the rocks come my way? Gang, I'm telling you, I just want to encourage you tonight. God will always swoop down. Sometimes it is the last minute. He's been called the God of the 11th hour. And I found him to be that way. I don't know if you have. Like, Lord, have you completely forgotten me? I'm about to crash. Here it goes. I'm done. He sweeps up and he takes me and he delivers me in the nest. And I get about 2 or 3 days rest. It's awesome. I catch my breath. And then God bumps the nest again. And it happens again and again, over and over. You know, maybe you're listening to me right now or you're here and you sort of feel that you're free falling. You know, you're sort of in this season of life right now where it just seems like things are really, really hard and you're squawking a little bit. I want to encourage you, man, you're not going to hit the bottom. If you have Jesus Christ in your life, dude, I want to tell you, you will not hit the bottom. It may look like you're going to, but keep your hope and your trust in the Lord. He will not let you fall. He won't. It'll be scary. But he's trying to accomplish something in your life, and he's trying to accomplish something in my life. He'll keep doing it. He'll keep doing it until we get the message that we were made for more than a mediocre life on some cliff. Until we get the message that you and I have been created to soar. You and I have been created to do something great for the master. He wants to teach you to fly. Now, if all that's true, and I really do believe it is, but if all that's true, and God's just going to keep turning the nest over and letting me fall and then swooping down and letting me go through this stuff because he wants to teach me to fly. My question is this. My question is, how long, Lord? Like, seriously, how long? Like, can we just get the lesson? Can I just start flying now? I'll do it. Like, what do I need to do? Like, just tell me where to sign. I'm on it. I just want to learn to fly. I'm done with your little testing. I'm done with all this. Could you just teach me how to get to the end result? Because I do want to fly. How long does it take? Can I speed up this process? The answer to that question is this. Yes, you can. You can speed up the process. Well, how do you speed up the process, Michael? Thank you for asking. So glad. I know you were thinking that. Here it is. I'll bet you've never heard this verse before. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. They that wait on the Lord renew their strength. They will mount up with wings, or they'll soar with wings or on wings as eagles do, and they'll run. They won't get tired. They'll do this walk of faith, and they will not drop out and faint. Amen? Here's the key, gang. How do we speed up the process? We wait on the Lord. The way you're going to learn to fly is if you learn to wait on the Lord. But I'm about to hit the rocks, Michael. I'm about to hit the rocks. I know. Here's the answer. Wait. Yeah, but you don't know my situation. You don't know what's going on in my life, Pastor Boy. I mean, come on. You don't understand. I know, but the answer is the same. Wait on the Lord. I promise you, wait on the Lord. Yeah, but you don't realize how serious this is. You don't realize how sad my situation is. You don't realize the pain and the problems that I'm dealing with. I know the answer for all of that. Wait on the Lord. Listen, I don't know about you. I've grown up in the church. I've been in the church for quite a few years, and I've heard probably 50 sermons on waiting on the Lord. I really have. But I'm going to share something maybe you've never heard before. And if you have, pretend like you haven't. It'll make me feel better. Waiting on the Lord, gang. They that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings. We've heard it. I used to sing a song. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their... Anybody remember that song? Just used to sing scripture. Okay? We've heard it a million times. What the heck does it mean? Wait on the Lord. Okay, so I gotta wait. I'm just supposed to wait. What does that mean? Let me tell you what it doesn't mean. Waiting on the Lord does not mean passively sitting on your rear doing nothing. I really think waiting on the Lord means doing... You ready? I think it means doing what a waiter in an upscale restaurant would do. Think about when you're in a really nice restaurant, what's the waiter do? Coming by all the time. Hi, can I fill your water? Hi, is everything okay? Are you doing good? Can I get you some steak sauce? What kind of steak sauce would you like? Oh, okay, would you like more coffee? What can I get you? Can I do that? They're just right there all the time. They're waiting on the person. Does that make sense? Like, what if wait on the Lord literally means wait on him like a waiter or a waitress? Like, serve the Lord. Obey the Lord. Worship the Lord. I think that's what it means. enough about me, enough about my problems. I'm here, God, to serve you. I'm here to honor you with my life. I'm here to give you thanksgiving. I'm here to worship you and to literally live my life in adoration of you. That's why I'm here. I'm waiting on you. And as I worship you, as I give thanks to you in all things, by the way, the Bible says, right? We're to pray without ceasing. You ever think about that one? Oh, I know you've heard it before.
Yeah, I've heard it before.
In one ear, out the other ear. Yeah, we're supposed to give thanks in all things. Yeah, I've heard that one too. Yeah, but do you do it? Do you pray all the time? Do you worship God at all the time? I'm like, all the time. Man, when you do that, when you're waiting on the Lord, God, what can I do for you? What can I get for you? More steak sauce? You got it. Wait on the Lord. Reestablish your morning devotions. It would be embarrassing in most churches today if you asked people to raise their hands if they have a morning time with the Lord. It'd be embarrassing. How do you wait on the Lord? How can I speed up this process? Please hear me. Reestablish morning devotions. Begin to praise him throughout the day. Why? He is teaching you, he is teaching me how to fly. He wants to take us to a new place. I absolutely guarantee you today that if you wait on the Lord like this, you will soar a whole lot quicker than if you spend your time squawking and complaining, blaming the sticks, whatever they are in your life. I'm telling you, I believe this so strongly that if we would become people that begin to praise, even in the midst of hard times, if we would become people who just lift up God and say, God, thank you for everything I enjoy in the midst of suffering, we would learn to fly way, way quicker. You know, there's an Old Testament scripture back in the book of Deuteronomy. Probably a lot of us were just reading this morning, Deuteronomy chapter 32. Listen to this. Verse 11 says, he watches over, this is talking about God. He watches over his nest like an eagle, and he hovers over his young. He spreads his wings, and he catches him, and he carries him on his feathers. The Lord alone led him with no help from a foreign God. These verses are talking about the love of the Father for his people. And he's using an illustration like I used earlier of an eagle. Moses is the writer here. The Holy Spirit's inspiring him. But Moses is writing here, and he's using an eagle and how a mother swoops down, how she carries her young, just like the story I just told you, as an example, as an illustration of how much God loves you. But look at the last part of that verse. We'll put it back up here. Verse 12, the Lord alone led him with no help from a foreign God. Very interesting. The person that's soaring with the Lord, the person who is accomplishing more than a mediocre life, sitting up in the nest, accomplishing nothing, just growing fat and chubby and comfortable. The person who is flying and doing the things that God created them for is the person, as that verse says, who's the Lord alone leads them. Now, we know in these days there was all kinds of people groups that were serving other gods and worshiping idols and stupid foreign gods. And the writer here is saying the one who God swoops down, who's teaching to fly, is the one who the Lord alone leads them. They aren't following foreign gods. When you and I are flying with the Lord, when we are soaring, sold out and radical for Jesus Christ, the foreign gods, the things of this world, remember the song? And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Remember that? Anybody? A couple people. I see nodding your head. The foreign gods become strangely dim.
As a follower of Jesus, you have a unique call on your life. You are, as Peter says in 1 Peter 2:9, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That gives you a purpose and a chance to shine for Jesus in a world that's fallen away from him. You are expected to look different than those around you, to have actions and words that stand out, that point to Christ. This calling is for all believers, not just a certain nation or certain profession. And it isn't a mission that will be easy either. You aren't alone as you proclaim Jesus' grace through your life. You have brothers and sisters in Christ all around you. Today, we want to encourage you to draw strength from God's Word, from your community of faith, and from Jesus Himself. We're so glad we were able to spend time with you today on Burning Hearts, the radio ministry of the Alpine Chapel and Pastor Michael Kraft. If you missed any part of today's message or would like to explore other teachings from the Bible, visit thealpinechapel.com today. While you're there, find out how you can join us in person for church this weekend. We're meeting Saturday at 6 p.m. and Sunday at 9 a.m. and again on Wednesday at 6 p.m. for a midweek dive back into the Word. You can get directions and all the information you need at thealpinechapel.com. Again, that's thealpinechapel.com. And be sure to join us next time for another edition of Burning Hearts.